Frank's Red Hot is the perfect blend of flavor and heat, so you can use an entire bottle to make recipes like buffalo chicken dip or buffalo nachos, or even things that don't start with buffalo. Frank's Red Hot. I put that shit on everything.
Hey, Craig.
It's on you. It's all on me. Can't you see? It's on you. It's all on me. You and me. Can't you? It's on you. It's on me.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jeff, we're going for a three-game winning streak.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Who knew?
Who would have thought? Certainly not me.
Well, and we play in Stanford, and this is the podcast versus everyone, episode 139, Stanford Preview Edition. I am Craig Powers. With me is Jeff. Jeff, so Stanford is about as befuddling as we are. They just don't make any fucking sense. Like, they beat Oregon, and they lost to Kansas State pretty badly. I don't know what to think about them. But on the whole, when you look at the stats on the whole, they look like a pretty shitty team. But then they have some tip-top games where they've played really well against USC and against Oregon. So, you know, they're a hard one to figure out, and they're probably sitting there looking at the Cougs like, I don't get them either. Like, what are we even going to get from them? So we'll try to do this preview based on the information we have, but who the hell knows what's coming on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll be like, we have no idea what's going to happen on Saturday. We don't know which team is going to show up for either team. It's going to be fun.
Woo. All right. So let's start, as we always do, with WSU's offense versus the other team's defense. And that other team is Stanford's defense. So one of those things that, again, is hard to figure out is WSU on the whole, their offense has been awful this year. Passing's been awful. Rushing's been awful. Really nothing has been good. But on their last four drives, they've scored touchdowns. So did they turn a corner, or were they just playing a bad defense? The good news is they are again playing a not so good defense. Like, so it's hard to say. I do know that Stanford kind of patterns out the same way Oregon State did, and where they are very bad against the run and decent against the pass. So maybe there's something there to that, because WSU kind of started their run in the second half against Oregon State with some nice chunk rushes from McIntosh and Borgie. So maybe that's where they should start here and hope they can pick up some ground on the ground and get the offense rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always skeptical of, you know, run to pass strategies. You know, it's always, to me, it always is sort of like a little bit of a chicken or the egg kind of thing with all that stuff. But you know, yeah, it certainly seemed like there was a little bit of correlation there. There was a little bit of, you know, this happened, then that happened. So, it is a little confounding. I've used that word a lot over the last week or so. You know, I'm probably overusing it at this point, but I'm sort of lacking, you know, good terms. You know, you mentioned Stanford's, you know, inconsistency. You know, when you think Stanford, right? I mean, we've talked about this for years. Like, they sort of built on that, you know, that mythical, you know, intellectual brutality stuff that David Shaw was so into. But you know, to look at a Stanford team that's not good against the, I mean, their defense just has not been, really hasn't been good for years. you know, for being honest, what, you know, what, whatever it was that they were doing, you know, 5-6 years ago, they are not doing anymore. And it's kind of wild to look at, you know, a Stanford team that is 112th in defensive success rate against the rush. You know, to me, that's, or, you know, and they're what, 114th in EPA per rush. That's yep. Just, I mean, that's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's even worse than what Oregon State was.
Yeah. They're giving up 0.2 expected points per rush.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot.
You're talking every 5 rushes is worth a point here, you know, expected point. So yeah, they're giving up successful runs too. Their success
explosive
rate,
runs
124th. Yeah, so 112th. Yeah, so almost you know, close to half of their runs are successful. They're giving up big runs. Yeah, so I mean, of course we never expect WSU to be a running team, but I'm hoping they can have some success in the run. Because that really seemed to get them going against Oregon State. Maybe yep. takes a little pressure off of Jaden when the other team has to pay attention to the run and has to be afraid of that. You know, it's very old school, but at this point, you know, we don't know exactly what Jaden can do. We've seen the best of what he can do. Well, maybe not the best, but again, they're playing a team who's better against the pass. Still not great against the pass, but like they're, you know, they're top half. That could, you know, they did fine against USC. They did fine against some other passing teams. So it's, we'll see how it goes. But, I'm hoping that the combination of Dion and Max can have a nice game again, like they did in that second half against Oregon State, and hopefully do it for the entire game instead of just a half. Although if you're going to have one good half, scoring 4 touchdowns on all your drives is good, is the way to do it. You know, you usually yeah. don't need a great other half if you do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. WSU, we just don't know what to expect. But at least now we have some hope that there is, we've seen a higher ceiling than we were expecting. And so hopefully maybe the receivers are maturing, you know, the younger receivers are maturing, giving more opportunity, which means maybe they're creating more space for our star receivers. You know, I know that Rolovich praised the receivers this week, so maybe they can continue to grow Stribling and Ollie and Hobart and just give Jaden more options. And yeah. it does seem Jaden is starting to spread the ball around more. So maybe that's a positive, and maybe they can yep. continue the good vibes. I don't expect touchdowns every time, but hey, 31 points in this game would probably be enough, honestly, maybe.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's super interesting about it is that lots of receivers are playing right now, which is definitely not something we
yeah,
expected.
Last year, he was,
yeah.
Last year and in Hawaii, it was 4 or 5 guys almost all the time.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And now we're looking at, I mean, they're basically doing the air raid thing. I mean, they're too deep. They're rotating through. You know, you're seeing lots of, they don't seem to be rotating too much on the outside. It seems to be mostly on the inside, rotating those guys through with, you know, with Harris, and you mentioned Hobart, you know, Calvin Jackson and Lincoln Victor. You know, all those guys seem to be rotating through on the inside. And then I think, like I said, you know, on the outside, it seems to be mostly Ollie and Stribling. And Stribling continues to impress, you know, continues to look real good for a freshman. Man, like every time I watch him, he reminds me of Marquise Wilson now. Like I can't not see it. Like they are just like they're the same build. They got kind of that long, almost gliding gait that they run with. Yeah, so very, very cool. Very, very exciting. You know, with Delora, it's, I don't know what's real. You know, what I do know is he was, incredibly accurate in the second half, which is not a thing that I thought we would say about him, I won't say ever, but definitely not this season. Like, I kind of thought, okay, you know, this guy's going to have to, you know, really work on his accuracy, which isn't, by the way, typically a thing that quarterbacks dramatically improve on. But man, he was so very, very good. And so, you know, he's kind of go, okay, is he kind of gotten something figured out mechanically a little bit? Is he doing a better job? Do you just get lucky? You know, it's like sometimes people just get in the zone. I don't know. But I do know that, you know, if he's going to fire darts like that, you know, for the rest of the year, you know, what this offense is capable of is obviously very different. Just to put into context how good they were on Saturday. So I'm looking here at their EPA per pass before last game and then now after last game. So before last game, they were 106th in EPA per pass. Now they are 90th. So they jumped 16 spots just based off of that one game.
And we talked about it in the last podcast, but yeah, they were 0.4 expected points per pass over the course of the entire game against Oregon State. So you can only imagine what it was in the second half. So yeah, that's just you'd be like top of the country, something like that. You know, if you're doing that,
if you did that every game. Yeah.
And actually their EPA per run was also really good against Oregon State. They were at 0.168 points expected per rush. That would put you in the top 20 of if that happened over the course of a year. So, and Stanford is an equally, maybe even worse run defense than Oregon State. So if they can improve on that, or keep that up, like that's very positive. What they really need to do is, and what they've really struggled with, is too many negative and no gain rushing plays. Stanford gets about 2.5 non-sack tackles for loss. So if they can get under that number, if they can keep it to 1 or 2, no gain or negative rushing plays, I feel like they're due for a nice rushing offense, a nice game on rushing offense, and maybe in turn Jaden can be as accurate as he was. And really it comes down to the blocking. I think what happens with his accuracy often is he sees what he wants to see and just lets it fly. And he doesn't set his feet. His footwork is not always the best. He fades on the passes, whatever. Any old Coug fans will, it sounds like Jason Gesser, but and maybe it's just a Hawaii thing. I don't know. But yeah, we've seen him, you know, he had a wide open touchdown against Cal and he kind of faded away on the pass and missed Travell Harris. Or was that it against Oregon State? I'm trying to forget. Maybe it was against Oregon State last week. He's fading on some passes but then in that second half, he was firmly in place. He was getting the blocking. So if they can, you know, Stanford's got 12 sacks this season, so that they get to the quarterback, but we see Jaden doesn't give up very many, but really it's key. It's not just how many that Jaden gives up. It's how often he's being pressured, because he doesn't get caught very often. So it's really about, are they taking him off his spot? Because we saw against Oregon State, if he can sit, he's going to, like, our receivers are in a place where they're getting open now and he can find them. He's moving through the progression a little more. So offensive line, block for him. Yes. And let's see what happens.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
So Stanford's defense isn't very good. It'd be great to see WSU to keep it going. Keep the momentum going.
Yes.
From that nice performance.
Yep. We like momentum.
Big momentum.
It's our favorite stat.
Over here.
Momentum per pass. It's a new stat. We made it up.
Momentum per rush. Let's switch over to what Stanford's offense has got for WSU's weird defense. Obviously, a big thing for Stanford this year was it, much like WSU did, WSU started with the more experienced quarterback, and then and then midway through the first game, the younger, more talented guy came in, and so Stanford started the season against Kansas State with Jack West, and midway through the game, Tanner McKee came in, and it's been him, and he's been pretty solid up until a three-pick game against Arizona State last week, but Arizona State's defense is pretty damn good, so it's kind of hard to judge him on that. But he's been very good. He's definitely a guy that can punish a defense. He had not thrown any picks before that, if I'm right on that. So those were kind of his first three picks. So if WSU can be as good as Arizona State's defense, maybe they can hold him down. But we do know that WSU is not as good as Arizona State on defense.
Are you sure? This is the They only gave up 6 points to Cal.
But they have been pretty good against the pass, particularly when it comes to big downs. You know, they're 27th in EPA per pass, but they also are 63rd in success rate. So, but it's because they're getting those timely sacks. They're getting the timely knockdowns, the timely interceptions. They've been able to be timely, and that's made them effective against the pass overall. I think they're definitely going to need to do that here because Stanford has been very good on first and second down. That's where they butter their bread because they are awful on third and fourth down, which is weird. Usually teams that are good on one are good on the other, but Stanford is just not.
Here's what I'm noticing. So I find sort of this entire set of statistics to be sort of wild. Okay, so you mentioned, so they are, you know, good on first and second down, and they are 24th in the percentage of their first downs that come on first and second down. Okay, great. Some of that, I think, is also a little bit of a function of third and fourth down being bad, right? They're not getting first downs on third and fourth down. They are, you know, as we know, Stanford, we sort of talked about, known for, you know, power football, running the ball. They are, where's the stat? I was looking for there. Hold on. Runs on first and early down rush rate. So they are 20th nationally in early down rush rate. So they run the ball on, like, I think first and second down 44% of the time, which is 20th in the country, 20th most in the country. And yet their rush success rate, so in other words, the number of times they run the ball and gain sort of the necessary number of yards to stay on schedule, is 124th nationally. So they are running it a whole bunch on first and second down almost half the time. They are successful less than 30% of the time. And so, you know, they are on the occasions, I think this is probably what's happening. You know, when you look at their offensive success rate for passing, it's 41st nationally, right? 43% of the time, almost. They're actually successful. My guess is what's going on here is, like, that when you're looking at that early downs EPA and things like that, they must be hitting some big plays with passes early, but are on early downs at times, but are really, really, really committed to running the ball also on those early downs. So I don't like it. It would strike me as a very David Shaw thing. You know, the old phrase, you know, to cut off your nose to spite your face, right? Like the thing that they are good at is the thing that he will not let them do very often, which, you know, I think sort of plays into also, you know, I'm sure this was on your list of things to talk about. They are 130th in field position. Their field position is terrible. And it's like, you know, they just,
defensive field position.
So
when they're giving the ball to the other team,
their net field position.
Their net field position
is 130th.
Which is funny because David, I think it was the game last week, he punted against Arizona State, punted four times inside the opposing team's 50. If you're doing that, you should have good defensive field position, but their average field position for their defense is the 41-yard line. Like, how are you doing that when you're punting from the 41-yard line all the time? like, how the hell are you doing that? And what another thing that's, that's confounding, because that's the word of the week, right?
Word of the week.
Yeah, they have the and now I've lost my train of thought because you threw me off on the other one. That was my other one. I was gonna be the confounding thing. Oh, so when you're talking about the run game. They have this two-headed rushing attack. They have Nathaniel Pete, who was good last year. Like his whole career, he's done nothing but gain more than 6 yards a carry. He leads the team in carries with 49. Second on the team is Austin Jones with 42, who missed an entire game and got more carries against Arizona State than Pete. He's averaging 3.8 yards a carry, but he's getting carries more or equal or sometimes more than Pete. So I don't know why that is. Maybe Pete is just not a guy. He's 5'10", 195. That's a pretty standard size. Like maybe Shottis feels like he's not a guy that can carry the load. Because it seems like you'd be giving it to that guy that's getting 6 yards a carry a lot more than the guy that's getting 3.8. I know Jones is kind of catches the ball more out of the backfield, so maybe they think he's a little more effective in that way, and so he's just on the field more. But it's very strange. Not sure what's going on there with David Shaw right now, but we do know he makes $8.9 million a year. Thank
yes,
you, USA
he does.
Today.
Yeah, which is again, you know, pretty wild when you think of what they haven't done, in some amount of time. So,
and pretty wild just thinking Stanford's football program can't be that big of a revenue generator compared to those other programs that have the big payments. I mean, they have a 50,000 seat stadium that they don't fill.
Yep.
They get the same amount of TV revenue as we do. So I don't know. You know,
yeah.
Maybe they just they see the value of having a prestige football team, and they see it beyond the just the ticket revenue. So
yeah, it's, you know, obviously for a long time they kind of didn't care about football, for lack of a better way to put it, and then they decided under Jim Harbaugh that they did care. And that they wanted to be good, and you know, and then they got good, and now it sort of seems like, I don't know, did they decide that they don't really care about being good at football anymore? I don't know, man. Stanford's a weird place. It's not a place that I would ever try
big
to understand.
Brains so. Over there. The brains are so big. Like, how do you even manage?
How do you even get them inside that helmet, man? I don't know.
Yeah, so. I don't know.
Yeah.
Funny thing about Stanford's offense, same as always Stanford's offense, they have a bunch of big fucking receivers.
Assholes.
Their top receiver, Elijah Higgins, is 6'3", 235. He's the short guy. John Humphreys is 6'5", 210. Benjamin Urosek is tight end. He's 6'5", 235. Bryson Tremaine.
Of course he
is out for the season. He was their big 6'4", 207. He was a big red zone guy. But he's out for the season. Got injured against Oregon. Had scored a touchdown every game up until then. But still, they don't really seem to have had many guys fill that gap. So they are down a receiver and don't really have another one that has stepped up. They do have Bryce Farrell, who has 2 catches for 80 yards this year. So watch out for him.
Yeah.
He's a kickoff and punt return guy as well. But yeah, so a bunch of big guys again. You know, is that going to give our secondary trouble? Our secondary has been playing pretty well. Maybe that could be tough for Armani Marsh in the middle, guarding a 6'5 tight end. But, you know, Oregon State had a huge tight end, and he didn't really do that much, so. Yeah, I don't know. Are we concerned?
Yeah, big receivers don't concern me as much as they did at this point. You know, Jalen Watson has, you know, contended with all manners and all sizes of receivers for some time now. The only one that's that has really kind of gotten the best of him was Drake London, and Drake London gets the best of everybody. So I don't feel particularly that doesn't change my opinion too much. So, yeah, I mean, I like our chances to, you know, continue to, you know, be solid in the passing game here. I like our chances to, you know, continue to get pressure. You know, I just, you know, as we kind of talked about on Monday, I do worry that there might be some sort of, you know, just odd statistical universe regression coming on some of this stuff where maybe the sequencing doesn't work out quite as well, where we don't get, you know, a negative play in a key spot, or get a turnover, you know, deep in our own territory or whatever it is. You know, I do worry that those kinds of things are going to come back around at some point. My hope is maybe they come back around in an avalanche against a team that was going to beat us anyway. The only thing that's kind of in the back of my mind with Stanford's offense is David Shaw. Now, maybe this was a Leach thing. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, we sort of had their number under Leach, and, you know, we've sort of made light of the fact that we probably shouldn't make light of this, but, you know, that we sort of made David Shaw cry because he couldn't figure out, you know, he just was so like, could not figure out how to beat Mike Leach. And, you know, there was a time there where he would sort of, you know, he was kind of pulling out all the stops to try and beat us. You know, there was one year where, I mean, would they throw the ball one year, like 70% of the time or something crazy, yeah, like that?
2018. Like
they just came out and threw the ball. You know, we ended up winning the game anyway, but it was like, you know, Shaw just decided, okay, I'm going to flip the script. And so, you know, I don't know, man. I wouldn't put it past him to try and do something a little bit weird to try and mix it up. I mean, I know Leach isn't here anymore, but I'll bet they really, really, really want to beat us. Cause there will be nobody on that team, no player who has beaten us. And for Shaw and his assistants, it has been a long time since they beat us. I think 2014, right? That was the last time.
2015.
2013? 2015.
2015.
2015? Okay.
Christian McCaffrey fumbled.
Oh, yeah. God damn it. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. So it's been a while. It's been a minute. And there's nobody left on the team, player-wise, that's done that. And I'll bet they look at WSU and go, how on earth could that team beat us so many times? So they'll probably be gunning for it, I would think.
And much like last week with the winning streak against the Beavs, this is another winning streak that I would just love to see continue. The winning streaks against the in division opponents, the Pac-12 North opponents. That's really cool. You always know you're getting those wins against them. So love to see Cougs beat Stanford. You know, I'll be back in Pullman watching it. It'll be B's only game of the season. It'll be GG's first game. So they need Woo-hoo. To come out and beat the Cardinal, because I don't want GG to be, you know, B's still undefeated. I don't want that to end.
Yeah.
For her. Yeah. And I'd love for GG to be undefeated as well. So
yeah,
let's take the streak to five. Yeah. That's a fifth year senior. Doesn't even get, and of course we got 6th year seniors now too, but that would be a 6th year senior because we didn't play Stanford last year. So, even a 6th year senior, if they beat them on a Saturday, would have never beaten WSU. That would be fantastic. Yeah. You love when you can get through an entire class. So let's go ahead and do that. Now let's, I think that's a perfect time to take it to our predictions. You know, that Oregon State game did nothing to dissuade me from continuing to do the first half, second half. It flipped the script, as you said earlier with David Shaw. It flipped the script a little bit, but it was still two completely different halves. So let's roll with your first half score.
All right. So I am thinking that this game... I've talked myself into something different now. So I put in my picks for PJ's Gambletron, and I'm pretty sure I took the under, whatever it was, and now I'm talking myself into this game maybe being a little bananas.
The like total is being, somewhere around 51.5.
Whatever
you look.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I took the under, thinking something like 31-21 or something like that. But now I don't know, man. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to flip it and just renege on my bet. And I'm going to say this one's going to get a little wild. I'm looking at 17-17 at half. So we got some scoring, 17-17 at half. And then
now it's my turn. That's right.
Sorry.
You'll figure this out eventually. You'll figure it out eventually.
Probably not.
All right. So yeah.
Okay. So there we go. 17-17 and a half for me.
I'm thinking points in the first half as well. I feel like WSU is going to keep this vibe going on offense. So I'm going to go 21-17 at half Cougs.
Okay. I like it.
All right. Now give me your final.
All right. So again, I'm thinking weirdness. I'm thinking bananas. I'm thinking just like it's going to go crazy. It's going to be a Pac-12 as we go to after dark, right? Cause it'll be dark by the time the game ends. So I'm going to say this thing ends up. So 17-17.5 ends up 37-34 Cougs.
Ooh boy.
Yes. It's a shootout.
Let's get out of there at 8:30. Yeah.
Let's get weird.
That sounds fun. I think it's one of those games where they score a bunch in the first half and then it slows down in the second half. And I think it'll finish like each team with 10 points in the second half. So I said 21-17 at halftime. So it'll be 31-27 Cougs. I'm sorry. We both picked them to win this week. So no idiot gifts.
Yeah.
I do not want the idiot gifts if they lose, cause that's not as fun.
Yeah, no, that's not as fun.
But I do think I feel good about this. CFB Graf's numbers like the Cougs, Bill Connolly's numbers like the Cougs by a very similar margin by 3 or 4 points.
That surprised the hell out of me, by the way, both of
us. Yeah. Stanford's basically had a big peak and a big valley. And
yep.
And you know, coming to Pullman ain't easy and nobody likes it and has not went well for Stanford lately. So let's keep it rolling. 31-27 for me, 37-34 for Jeff. We're picking the Cougs this week. I love it. Although I did love, thank you for all the idiot gifts. That was really fun.
That was fantastic.
Just as I'm getting ready to watch my fiance's brother get married, just scrolling through my phone, trying to reply to everyone with their idiot gifts. Thank you for that. I guess that's all we have to say. You can follow me on Twitter, at the Craig Powers, on Instagram, at Craig W Powers. You can follow Jeff at Pod VS Everyone. You can email us questions and comments, podcast@gmail.com. You can rate us 5 stars. You can leave us a review. You can tell a friend the old fashioned way. Say, hey,
yeah,
I like listening to this podcast. You should listen.
Have
to
you listened too. To this one? It's awesome.
Yeah. So, can't wait to, I hope this all doesn't come crashing down, but I just wanted to feel positive vibes for one goddamn week and I want to keep it rolling. So with that, I say go Cougs, Jeff.
Go Cougs, Craig. Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
And get fucking vaccinated.
Yes, you should.